Good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Shook Me Right Show. I am very, very happy to be back. And a special shout out to Vin Manganzini, who did a terrific job a week ago filling in. I've been out for 2 weeks with a really bad illness. So right away, I just want to say thank you to the people who reached out to me via social media, Twitter, Facebook, to send me your get well wishes. I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And also, it's great to be back. We got a lot to get into today. And I can honestly tell you, now that we are in the month of March, this is officially March Madness. And I'm talking about in the world of sports. Yes, March Madness is coming up, which with Selection Sunday, I believe, in a week. So that is something that's not lost on me at all. But what I will say is this. In the time that I've been off the airwaves, I could tell you that a lot has happened in the world of sports, and a lot of which has actually kept me informed and kept me going. And I got to admit, all the while I am excited and thrilled to be back on the air with you, the listener, call in. Phone lines are open. I'm here with you till 6. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'll be the first to tell you that, listen, we are about to embark on what is going to be an absolutely insane month for Boston sports. And I thought this would really be the most appropriate way to begin the show today. To be completely honest with you, I didn't realize that there's going to be a handful of things happening this month. Number one, Tom Brady and his pending free agency will begin in earnest in 10 days. That's number one. His contract will expire in 10 days. The new league year begins on March 18th. That's number one. Number two, this is the final full month for the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics as they wrap up their regular season and getting ready for the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Bruins and the NBA playoffs for the Boston Celtics. That's number two. Number three, also, the Boston Red Sox opening day is in how many days? 19 days. That's also coming up as well. So, a lot's happening this month. But also, quick reminder for those who may have forgotten. Congratulations. Everybody's about to get screwed tonight. Oh, no. Not that kind of screw. No. You're about to get screwed in terms of your sleep because clocks move forward an hour tonight. Just an FYI. Which means supposedly another hour of daylight. Woohoo! Yeah! It also means you'll also lose an hour of sleep, so be prepared to deal with the crankies tomorrow. I can tell you that right now. So, warning. Fair warning. So, we'll start the show talking about the Boston Bruins. Because, listen, they're back home tonight. They're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, who is chasing them in the standings. 7 o'clock puck drop on Nesson. And they're back home after a terrific road trip that they had embarked on about a week ago. A week ago, they were in New York on Long Island playing the Islanders, in which they played a very strong game all the way through and through. Great game on Tuesday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, in which they look terrific the first two periods. The third period, they had to like weather the storm and, you know, find their collective bearings defensively. But all in all, a great win on Tuesday night against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. And then Thursday night, the Bruins, great win, come from behind win, I should say, against the Florida Panthers, but not without a price. And that price being that Brandon Carlo is out, and he will be out of tonight's game against the Lightning due to the upper body injury that he suffered in Thursday night's overtime win against the Florida Panthers. Which, by the way, Dandanoff not getting a suspension is absolute, a complete utter horse crap. Keeping the PG on the air. So, what I will tell you is this. That is a big loss, and filling in his place will be John Moore. And he hasn't seen a whole lot of playing time, especially since the All-Star break, in which he's only played in 3 games. So this will be an opportunity for him to step in and fill in and play valuable minutes for a defensive core that has been absolutely outstanding this season, and which includes Carlo, which his development this season alone by itself has been absolutely incredible to watch. You talk about McAvoy, the steps that he's taken this year in his growth. Carlo, you could say the same thing. Two guys who started training camp last September, not being with the Bruins due to contract issues, taking big steps this year, and as well as obviously Torrey Krug and his pending free agency, and as well as Daniel Char, who right now is still not committed for playing another season beyond this season. So that will be a big loss for the Bruins for now. We'll see how he looks in regards to when the Bruins take on the Philadelphia Flyers on Tuesday, considering that they will be on the road. And according to all the reports this morning, the Bruins say that Brandon Carlo said that he does feel a lot better, but nonetheless, head coach Bruce Cassidy decided to keep him out of the lineup for tonight's game. So that'll be something to absolutely keep in mind, especially when you see the starting lineups in terms of who will be playing tonight, who will be in the lineup for the Bruins tonight, and so forth. So we figure we're going to start the show talking about the Bruins, but I also want to start by talking about the following as well. It's absolutely remarkable. The more I think about it, and the more I really look at the body of work, what the Bruins have done, that the Bruins have an opportunity for two things tonight. Number one, they have an opportunity with the win to become the first NHL team to reach 100 points this season. That's number one. Number two, the Bruins, should they win again tonight, will have played two very critical games against the Tampa Bay Lightning, in which that they're chasing in the standings, in the Atlantic Division standings, as well as the NHL standings as well. But also, I think it's also important to also point this out, that this team continues its march in preparation for the playoffs. Because it's imperative. It's imperative that we begin to start looking at where the Bruins are in terms of the standings, and as well as understanding that they're at a point now in which that they are dwindling down in terms of games remaining. And it's a good thing. Because at this point, it is very fair to say that the Boston Bruins are going to be in the playoffs. They're number one in the league right now. So that's a foregone conclusion. The real question really is in terms of the Bruins, they'll be playing game number 69 tonight. And after tonight's game, they will be down to 13 games remaining in the regular season. So the real question will become for the Bruins is, and I'll talk about this a bit more during the next segment, at what point do the Bruins begin to rest guys? I think it's important, especially for the Bruins, to start really thinking about this, because you talk about the older guys, especially the guys that are part of the Stanley Cup core, they're going to need it, and so forth. So phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Great to be back. Great to be back on the airways. Better than ever. Here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford on this first Saturday of the month of March. By the way, is it me or is next Saturday St. Paddy's Day? This just came to mind. I don't know if it's next Saturday or if it's the 17th, but St. Paddy's Day is right around the corner. Yeah. So that's always an interesting dynamic, especially in this region and so forth. So that's also something to keep in mind for the month of March. Oh, St. Paddy's Day is right around the corner. Oh, yeah. So and continuing on talking about the Bruins, tonight they'll be playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just played on Tuesday night down in Tampa. And I got to tell you, if you're the Bruins right now and you've been playing extremely well at home, well, you have the best home record in the league, arguably at 22-3-9. So I could tell you that for this Bruins team, if you're going to look at what they're going to look to do in terms of tonight, and what's in terms of the opportunity they have against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I know the conversation has been at one point this week about the Lightning. They're without Steven Stamkos, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, if this is the year that the Bruins truly do redeem themselves and win the Stanley Cup, this is a team that you're all likelihood are going to have to go through in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just the truth. I mean, hey, if you're going to win the Stanley Cup, you're going to have to beat the best. And, you know, I know for some people they're keeping tabs in terms of the wild card race and so forth, because this directly does impact who the Bruins do play in the first round, since they are the number one seed. So it's definitely something to keep in mind and whatnot. So real quickly before we go to break, right now the top two seeds in the wild card are the Islanders and Columbus. But right now the Islanders and Columbus, they're tied. They're tied for first in the wild card. Carolina, according to NHL.com, they're third with 77 points. The Islanders and Columbus have 79. The Rangers are right there, just a point back behind Carolina and 3 points behind Columbus. So that's also something to also keep in mind as well. Coming up next, we're going to talk about why the Bruins should absolutely consider, and I think they really should seriously consider this, start resting the core group of players that won the Stanley Cup in 2011, especially other guys in that lineup, because they're going to need it. And if you want this team to be at its optimum best, rest is going to become absolutely imperative come the time for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Great to be back here with you here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, as well as streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app nationwide and streaming globally at WMFO.org. Coming up next, as mentioned, Bruins, when do they start resting players? That plus your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... Poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Glad to be back. First time in a couple of weeks. It's been a while since this show has been on the air, so I'm very happy and excited to be back here. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're going to spend a portion of this segment talking about why it's important for the Bruins to begin to start resting players. And I got to tell you, listen, if you're the Boston Bruins at this point, and you have such a lead, not only in your division, but as well as for the first place setting in the NHL standings, you have to honestly begin to think about putting your players in the best position to succeed. And let's face it, and you look at the roster, and you look at what this team has been able to do thus far, it's been nothing short of amazing. And especially considering that there were questions at the beginning of this season, and to be frank with you, I was one of those wondering, how will the Bruins look? How would they come out the gate considering that this team played all the way to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last spring? So it's only right and it's only fair, you know, that you begin to ask, like, hey, you know, like, at what point do you begin to rest guys and so forth? You know, like Chara, who's played 66 games so far up to this point. Bergeron has played 59. Krejci has played 59 games as well. And I'm really curious to see how Bruce Cassidy is going to handle this moving forward, because I think it will at some point become a story. And even as, I would say, as far as next week, it'll be a story. Because consider this. All right. After tonight's game, they got Philadelphia Flyers at Philadelphia this Tuesday night. And then Friday, the 13th, they're in Buffalo, 7 o'clock. And then next Saturday night, They're here. They're back home against the Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock. So they got three important games that's coming up this week. I mean, Buffalo is well out of the playoff picture and so forth, but Philadelphia and Toronto, they're fighting for playoff positioning. So I expect that at some point next week they begin to start thinking about when they're going to start resting players and so forth. And then don't forget also, the Bruins have a monster West Coast trip coming up in less than 2 weeks. Yes, they still got to go out west. They got Anaheim coming up on the 18th. They got the Kings coming up on the 19th. And they got San Jose coming up on the 21st, 2 weeks from today. So they're not that far off from that West Coast trip. So also, that's why I bring up that, hey, at what point do you begin to rest some of the older guys on your roster and whatnot, the guys that are going to need it, you know, like a Marchand and so forth? I mean, it's just food for thought. It's food for thought, and I think, and I know for a fact, that the Bruins coaching staff has started thinking about this and whatnot. Phone lines are open. Call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So we're going to continue on with the segment, but we're going to talk about something that I actually read up on in the Boston Globe that Dan Chauncey wrote. And I want to switch gears from the Bruins to talk about the Patriots. And I know for those who follow me on social media, I pointed out that I was going to take a break from this whole Brady watch, nonstop, vomiting-inducing talk of, is he going to stay or is he going to go? Oh, he did this. What does this mean? I'm not here to jump in to this foray that Boston sports media has jumped themselves into, especially the local sports talk radio folks here as well in Boston, myself excluded. I'm not going to do that. But there was a point that Dan Chauncey pointed out in the column that I honestly thought, you know what? He's right. He's actually right about this. And I'm going to point it out what that is coming up right now. In which that, you know, you have people who love to look at history. And then people who, you know, they tend to not realize certain things and so forth. All that fun stuff. I get it. I really do. But this one here on a column that was written yesterday evening by Dan Chauncey, is up on bostonglobe.com. He makes this point in a bullet point, quote, if Brady leaves the Patriots, it will go down as the biggest non-game-related Boston sports story since Babe Ruth was sold to the Yankees more than 100 years ago. Brady leaving is bigger than Spygate, Deflategate, and Leroux Coupe at Fenway. It's bigger than the sudden deaths of Reggie Lewis, Lynn Bias, and Harry Agnes. Bigger than the Braves leaving Boston. Bigger than trading likes of Nomar and Mookie Betts. Bigger than Haywood Sullivan forgetting to mail Carlton Fixup contract. Bigger than Bobby Orr going to the Blackhawks. Bigger than Bill Parcells to the Jets. And Ted Williams going off to war twice. Bigger than the trade that brought Bill Russell to Boston. Yes, Bill Russell was traded here to the Celtics. There can be no doubt. Tom leaving will be our biggest non-game sports story since the selling of the Bambino, unquote. I actually agree, because it's truly befitting now, especially, and I mean especially, here we are 10 days away. Tom Brady's contract expires in 10 days, ladies and gentlemen. And who knows what will happen between now and by the time the Shukri Wright Show comes back on the airwaves next Saturday in terms of his regularly slots time, whether if the Patriots and Tom Brady will be any closer or further apart in their contract negotiations. That remains to be seen. But what I am curious to see is this. For those who have been following the show and knows that I've been on the airwaves since July 6th of 2019, I have been very consistent on this very fact of the matter, that I would not be surprised that Tom Brady does not return to the New England Patriots. I've said this in the aftermath back in August of last year, that the Brady contract that was given to him was only a leeway or segue to allow Tom Brady to test the open market, and that it was essentially a one-year deal. Although it, on paper, it looked as if it was a multi-year deal, but the reality was, no, this is a one-year deal, and so forth. So now, here we are on March 7th, 10 days away, And with all of the hoopla that has been made about Brady talking to talking to the head coach of the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel at a Syracuse game or whatever, and the whole lip reading thing of Julian Edelman, what did he say to Tom Brady that make him say whatever, whatever, all that fun stuff. Listen, I'm at a position now where I'm going to be brutally honest, and I'm going to put this out there, that I'm just playing wait and see. Let's wait and see. Now, there are people in the industry who will say, well, this is an entertaining story, and this is entertaining, and you got to talk about it, and I understand that, and all that fun stuff. But there comes a point in time where you do get tired, and I'm going to bluntly admit this on the air, that I get tired of it. So much so that I tweeted out this past week that I'm divorcing myself from this whole Tom Brady talk. Is he staying? Is he going? Make a damn decision already and let's be on with it, because there are other factors and other matters on the team that needs to be addressed, and not just only Tom Brady. All the while, I'm not ignoring the fact that this is a monumental story. It is. And I'm going to treat it as such. But I'm not going to sit here and dissect through this whole situation as if we're trying to do open heart surgery on a cat. That is something I'm not going to do. It makes no sense. But instead, when that day does come, and it will come very soon, whether Brady resigns here or he goes elsewhere, you can bet your tail that I will absolutely be talking about this in great length, in great detail. Because of the fact of the matter is this. You know and I know what Brady means to here. What he means to Boston. We know that. No need to revisit that point. But the ramifications of Brady leaving goes far beyond just football. It does. We're talking business. We're talking TV deals. We're talking coverage. How the NFL, well, and media networks like CBS, Fox, and NBC will cover the Patriots moving forward, especially nationally televised games on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, hell, even Thursday Night Football. But you get the point. You get the point. So the fact of the matter is this. With Brady, what he decides to do in the next 10 days or not remains fascinating, remains interesting. But there's also a very real reality that this can go beyond March 18th. But here's the truth. I don't see it going beyond March 18th. Hell, I don't even see it going into April. Because the fact of the truth is this. Belichick knows, just as well as anybody, if not better than anyone else out there, that you are going to have other quarterbacks who are going to be available via trade or available via free agency, and they are going to need to make a decision and make a move fast. Hence why we have found ourselves since January 5th talking about every little move that Brady does to the ends of the earth, to the ends of New England, from the North Shore to the South Shore, to the East Coast to the West Coast. And the fact of the matter is, we're now down to 10 days. 10 days. And I think it's fascinating that in the next 10 days, we're going to know more, because buckle up, New England. The next 10 days are going to absolutely be insane. Don't be surprised. It'll be insane in terms of the shockwaves of either or. It'll either be jubilation of Brady returning and him wrapping up his career here in New England, or absolute shockwaves of sadness that he's leaving after 20 years. So stay tuned. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a combination of the Red Sox and a matter that had me shaking my head as into WTF. I'll just leave it at that. We're going to be talking Red Sox and a situation that had me thinking WTF over this past week. And I'm going to let you know what that is. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You are listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Plus Freeform Radio.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Forum Radio. We're going to continue on with the show talking about the Red Sox. And there was an article that came out this week in which it was talked about, and I got to give credit to Tara Sullivan, who does a tremendous job for the Boston Globe. And this article, in relates to the Red Sox, and it relates to everything that we've heard this week in the last several days in regards to Chris Sale. And I'm thinking, what the actual hell were they thinking? I don't think they were. And I was thinking, if the Red Sox were actually thinking, maybe they wouldn't have done this. So allow me to walk in the hallways of revisionist history. A year ago at this time, funny enough, it happened a year ago yesterday, I was hired as a sports journalist to write for the Yawkey Way Report covering the Red Sox. 100% true story. That was a year ago. And I gotta tell you that at that time, I mean, it was exciting. It was. You know, coming off the Red Sox World Series Championship season 2018, you know, everybody's still celebrating and so forth. All that pomp and circumstance and whatnot. And then, late towards the end of spring training, the Red Sox announced that they were going to sign Chris Sale to a 5-year deal worth north of $135 million. Dollars over the duration of the contract. Oh, man. And I honestly begin to say to myself back then, and I begin to really think about this, at that time, I don't think this was a good idea. Considering that he had yet to prove that he could pitch an entire full season healthy. And that was the concern. That was the concern then. And that's even more the concern now. Here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen, in all of this. The kicker in all of this is that Chris Sale got shut down last August because of arm problems. And now here we are in spring training, and the Red Sox still 100% reeling in the aftermath of, number one, firing their manager, Alex Cora, a month ago. Well, no, correction, a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago, back in January, when it was discovered and revealed that Alex Cora had a bigger role in the whole Astros cheating scandal than initially led on to believed. And number two, the big, massive trade that still is being felt here in New England of trading away Mookie Betts and David Price. More on that second half of the trade coming up just shortly. With all of that happening, it was basically as if, wow, what are we doing here? Now, Tara Sullivan wrote an interesting article for the Boston Globe, in which she wrote, entitled the article, and I believe this is 100% worth talking about, given Chris Sale's injury history, was it the right move to trade David Price? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. I really do. Because, after all, the first thought may be, yeah, he was a nuisance. Oh, my God. He was an absolute pain for the Red Sox. Yeah, but hold up. Wait a minute. I'm going to say something right now that I said back a year ago before I was blessed with the opportunity that I have now. All praise belongs to the Almighty Creator God to host my own radio show. Something I said a year ago. A year ago, I was telling people off the air that the Red Sox made a massive mistake giving him that kind of money, knowing all well that Chris Sale cannot stay healthy. And then on top of that, now I'm going to add on to this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It was a mistake trading away David Price. Hot take? I don't know if this would fall under the hot take category, but the fact of the matter is this. The fact of the matter is that, considering this, that I understand David Price was a nuisance. He was a pain. He was an absolute irritable, frustrated, unhappy camper here in Boston. He was. I'm not here to refute that. But what I am here to say is this, is that considering that Chris Sale still isn't right, and that I know David Price did not have a popular history here with the media and so forth, was it really the right move to trade away David Price as well? And I know it wasn't the right move, obviously, to trade away Mookie Betts. Not going to go crazy, no. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want all of you to consider the following very heavily. Consider this. David Price, although, and I say this with a grain of salt, although he was a very easy guy to root against pre-2018 postseason, he got the job done. He was able to give you 200 innings. I know he was a person who was not consistent, especially against the Yankees. I get that 100%. But what I also do wonder is this. For a guy who was able to, in the very least, stay healthy, was it really the right move to trade away David Price? No. So now guess what? Guess what? We find ourselves waiting a week, and seeing how Chris Sale is going to respond to the rest before any next course of action is done. You want to know what's also ridiculous about all of this? Here's what's ridiculous in all of this. Chris Sale is avoiding the inevitable. He is. What's the inevitable? Tommy John. He's working feverishly to avoid it. And here's what's scary. Because I was telling a few buddies this last summer about this. With Chris Sale's injury, it's only a matter of time. Not if. And even Chris Sale himself has in fact said, listen, I've been told this for an X amount of years, and I've avoided this so far. But here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, you're at a point now where this is real. This is real. It's only a matter of time before Tommy John comes calling. Because anytime you have to go and get an opinion from Dr. James Andrews, who is basically the angel of death for baseball pitchers, my man, you and I know better just as well as anyone else that Tommy John is only just a few steps away. And in Chris Sale's case, not a matter of if. No. Not a matter of if. Matter of when does it happen? And the harsh truth of the matter is this. Is that the management, the front office was so hell-bent on trying to cut payroll that they didn't think about for a fact that, wait a minute, Chris Sale is not healthy. And sure enough, he wasn't healthy going into spring training. Do you think David Price trading him away would be a good idea? No! They didn't think about that. They were just thinking about, oh, we're just going to cut payroll. So, oh, he's got a high payroll. He's getting paid a high amount anyway, 30-plus million. Bye-bye. See ya. Adios, pelota. Oh, Mookie Betts? Oh, he wants to get paid more than, what, $30 million per year? Adios, pelota. Basically, and now you're paying a price. If you're going to try to convince me going into 2020 that your rotation that consists for right now consists of Nathan Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, newcomer Colin McHugh, formerly of the Houston Astros, Martin Perez is going to compete for the American League East? I'm sorry. You're out of your mind. Either that or you're high. Either that or either one of the two. There is no way that the Red Sox didn't. I'm sorry. Call in. Tell me that the Red Sox had some kind of foresight into knowing that, oh, Chris Sale's not going to be healthy. He's not going to be healthy. So let's just trade away David Price, the only pitcher that you've had going into this season that was almost a sure bet of pitching at least 185 innings. At least. Close to 200 innings. But you don't even have that right now. Because Nathan Eovaldi? Oh, we all know about his high-octane fastball and his stuff. Oh, another guy who's susceptible to injuries, too. Go figure. Why should I be shocked? Should I be shocked? Nah. So it's only a matter of when. So for Red Sox Nation that were looking for any positives going into the season, good luck. Good luck. Because if there was ever one, and we did a whole talk about this a few weeks ago. We did. We had a whole talk about this. Reasons as to why the Red Sox should not give up on the 2020 season. We had a segment about this right here on this show. Yeah. At this point, this Red Sox season is looking more darker than a well-done steak. Oh, it's dark. It's bad. Real bad. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, if there's any more of a way to shoot yourselves in the foot. I mean, oh man. I feel bad. I really do. There was an article that came out this week that literally, and I do mean literally, had me at WTF. Now, for those that may have forgotten, I've launched the Shukri Wright podcast. It's available on my Twitter page at Shukri Wright, at SHUKRIWIGHTS. It's there. In which I talked about this very article, but this is the first time that I have the opportunity to talk about this on the show. And this is the topic I'm going to talk about to wrap up the show, as we have The Loft coming up next at 6 o'clock right here on the Sugar, on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tough Sweet Farm Radio. Pardon me for the botch up and the call letters. And it got me thinking, what is baseball trying to do? Are you trying to choke yourself? I mean, because for everything that has gone wrong this offseason, I mean, this is it. It's gotten from bad to worse. And I if I'm a baseball fan, I'm angry. Really, really, really angry. Now, I talked about on my podcast on, I believe it was episode 2, yes. It was episode 2 of the Shukri Wright podcast. Again, available on SoundCloud. You can listen to it and download it and whatnot. It's there. I gotta tell you, why is baseball trying to kill itself? I don't get it. I really wholeheartedly don't understand this for the life of me. Now, the Blue Jays, they recently, as almost 2 weeks ago, decided that they're going to black out basically their entire fan base in Canada. And the only way to watch the Blue Jays is via either on TV, on Sportsnet, or you are basically going to have to subscribe via some sort of Sportsnet streaming service, which is asinine. It really is. But as far as the article itself, this article that I read, and this came out like 5 days ago, and it's written by Hannah Kaiser. I'm going to go through it really quickly, in which she talked about, I'm just giving you the premise of the story. It's there on yahoosports.com from 5 days ago, basically talking about how baseball is basically forcing the fan, the casual fan, to subscribe to cable TV. And even select streaming services are blacking out the local fans, which I don't understand. Case in point, the Yankees television network, the YES Network, no longer available in New York on YouTube TV, which is a terrific, and I say this as a YouTube TV subscriber myself, a terrific alternate service to have other than having cable. They're forcing them into a situation where, oh, you want to watch the Yankees? You have to watch cable. And if you want to watch any other team, good luck. And it's asinine because for a team that has, not so much for the team, but for a league that has struggled with ratings, and your biggest franchise in sports, in all sports, in the biggest media market in the world, you want to make it harder to watch the team that you love? Or even if you're a passionate, casual fan, like myself here, you want to make it harder to watch the game? Wow. Wow. If there was ever a time that things were a bit crazy and asinine, that would be it. Oh, man. Baseball, you got a problem. You got a real problem. I hate to break it to you, but you're doing more damage to yourself into your fan base, and it sucks. It really sucks because you have a glorious opportunity that may have been punted by the simple fact that, oh, you mishandled the whole Houston Astros situation, that you're driving fans from the game. So congratulations. In the words of DJ Khaled, congratulations. You played yourself. Terrific show today. Glad to be back. And back every Saturday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned for any updates on my social media platforms on Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. Instagram at SWRIGHTS. RADIO _. For any updates as to any special shows and fill-in times, I'll be on the airwaves for 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, The Loft. The Loft will be here with you from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright saying peace out. Hit me up on the social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and whatnot. Holla at you next weekend. Great to be back. Have a great rest of your Saturday. And also, don't forget, time moves forward an hour tonight. So change those clocks at 2 a.m. Talk to you again next week. This is 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.